The first reading is from the fifth chapter of Isaiah. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the third chapter of Philippians. Paul writes, "If anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life." Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. 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 For to whom shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said to the people, "Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance.' So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they realized he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. A joy to be here with you and to share this morning and on this very special occasion that has already been highlighted, an opportunity to celebrate what is the culmination of lots of discerning and prayer and people, not just Pastor Heather, but others, saying yes to God and yes to God's leading. It's been kind of strange. I've been doing quite a few of these installations over the last several weeks, but many of them are what has come out of that time that forever will be known as life-changing and church-changing, COVID. And so it seemed that this call process got prolonged in many places. So it's been fun, though, even if it's been several years, to come and to celebrate the installation that, as I say, culmination of the discernment process that has been happening in congregations all over. I just want to say a brief word that it is my privilege to serve you through the Nebraska Synod. We say every place we go, we want to remind you that we are better together as we strive to be the people of God. There is so much more that we are able to do because we work together as a synod. Over 230-some congregations across the state and, of course, as a part of the church-wide, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, that so much happens because of you, because of your faithfulness and your generosity. So thank you. And on behalf of Scott Johnson, our bishop, we are glad for you and appreciate your ministry here in this place. So, this gospel made me think of an old joke, and many of you have probably heard this before, but there were these two friends who were walking through a forest, and they came across this huge grizzly bear. And you could just tell by the look on the grizzly bear's face that he thought these two would make a great snack. So the one friend standing there looking at the grizzly bear, kind of under his breath, says to his friend, we got to get out of here. Let's run. But right at that point, his friend kneels down and is tying his shoe. And the guy says, what are you doing? We've got to get out of here. And he says, I need to tie my shoes so that I can run faster. And the other one says, really? Seriously? You think you're going to be able to outrun this grizzly bear just because you tied your shoe? And he says, I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. We as human beings, deep within us, we would say as part of our sinfulness, has that desire to look out for ourselves, don't we? We can easily become concerned about only ourselves. That story points to our propensity to self-centeredness, preservation of the self, Pastor Kevin Ruffcorn says, selfishness is a dominant gene in the human race. It's part of who we are. Now, probably more so than now, there has been times in our history and our evolution that self-centeredness was necessary for self-survival, right? And even today, there are some times that we need to think of be thinking for the sake of preservation about ourselves. But this characteristic also demonstrates within our human nature that of us which stands over and against our witness of God's provision, of God's unconditional care and love for us. That desire for self-preservation can deny the truth that truly God is in charge, that God is the one who preserves us, provides for us, and cares for us. Does it surprise you that there have been studies that have been done that show that self-centered, egotistical people measure the lowest in happiness? And anecdotally, I would say that I see that as true. Also, from the standpoint of people that you would think have no reason to be happy because they have so little for themselves, are often the most grateful and joyful people that I have ever met. Now, I would venture to say that looking across this congregation this morning, that most of you have either been in the business of raising children or raising grandchildren or being connected to children in some way over the last two decades. So I am sure that you are familiar with the film classic Finding Nemo, right? And in that movie, there is an ensemble of known as the mine seagulls, right? Those seagulls are just a classic example of greed and selfishness, only looking after themselves. If you ever notice, though, in that, in their eyes, there is no joy. At least when I look in their eyes, I mean, they are animated, but no joy. And there's just this serious intent to look after themselves, to gain all the food that they can by claiming, mine, mine, mine. Today's gospel is a story about Jesus dealing with our self-centeredness, dealing with the religious leaders who are convinced that they are the center of God's favor. The temple? Mine, mine, mine. The right path to God? Mine, mine, mine. And so Jesus' encounter with the religious leaders of the day demonstrates how God intercedes into the lives of people who are, to use Luther's term, turned inward and gazing inward, navel gazing. I had a pastor friend of mine always call it. But God does intercede. Now, obviously, I love that part, the last part, Matthew's commentary on Jesus telling this story, when he says, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this his parable, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Even the leaders figured out what Jesus was teaching about. Now, I want to, this morning, for us to pause there, and let me just say, let's be careful with this parable. We'd like to think, as followers of Jesus, we are those people who produce the fruits of the kingdom, right? That we're the new tenants that get called in, you know, to take care of God's vineyard, because certainly we are the people who are going to produce the fruits. But I don't want us to jump to that too quickly this morning. I want us to take more than just a passing glance at this scripture passage. I want us, before we jump to being the tenants, to see ourselves as those whom Jesus challenged. Yes, indeed, God has given us our life and everything. And yet, do we not live our lives for ourselves? This is an opportunity to reflect back on our confession and to think about that instead of just letting those be words that roll off of our tongues as we begin worship. Do we not also do our own thing? Do we not seek our own goals, our own priorities, chart our course? And although I can't say this 100%, unfortunately, we may not physically rough up those that perceive us as a threat or that we perceive as a threat in like the tenants do, the evil tenants do, but certainly we do yield to that temptation, don't we? To ignore those who think differently than us, to belittle, to demonize, to oppress, or to cast aside, all for the sake of mine. You know, from the beginning of Scripture, God has always been telling his people that they are blessed to be a blessing. Adam and Eve were placed in a garden to till it and to produce fruit. And yet they turned to their own desires and what they wanted. Abraham and Sarah promised to be the descendants of a nation, a great people. And they almost blew it by finding their own agenda and trying to find their own way to those blessings. God has always been telling God's people, you are blessed to be a blessing. But even for us in this day, as many times as we might have heard that, we continue in our consumer-oriented world to tend to keep our blessings for ourselves. We listen to and we buy into the hundreds and thousands of advertisements that we see and hear each day that want us to think that it's all about what we want and what we need in order to be productive and happy. Those things take precedent over the good. Entitlement over enrichment of the whole. God gives the world to humanity. And it seems that in many ways all we do is respond by polluting, by exploiting, not owning up to our own role in the elimination of species or in climate change, exploiting and hoarding. So I invite you this morning to make this also a time of examination of conscience, of reflection. Because surely we do stand judged, even condemned. Wicked tenants. Mine. But that's not where it ends in terms of how God relates to those who are self-centered and selfish, is it? Because we do hear the good news. For God, it is always about the fruit. We have been created to love. We have been created to produce that fruit. And God calls us to that and time again sends us that message, that good news for us to hear, and even sends us God's own Son. Time and time again, faced with our rebellion and our selfishness, God does not send an army to destroy us. God does not bring down the hammer of judgment, but only gives us an act of love and redemption in Christ. We are freed from self-preservation. We are freed from having to think that we've got to do this on our own and hold tight to what God has given us instead of freely giving. We are freed from hate and judgment. And we can produce the fruit of the vineyard because it's all God's, and it's all God's to freely give us. Today we are celebrating what God has been up to in this vineyard. Think about Holy Cross as a vineyard where God has been at work, building, clearing, planting. God has been lovingly accomplishing what God chooses to do because God's got in the back of the mind that idea that through this, fruit is going to be given. And we celebrate. We celebrate that Pastor Heather, that the staff, the leaders of Holy Cross, and you, the congregants and family members, all who are drawn to this place today, we celebrate that as tenants, you are sent and empowered together to produce the sweet, luscious fruit. Forgiveness, kindness, inclusion, joy, love, peace, grace, and on and on and on. All part of God's plan for the world and for you. Let's pray. Holy God, give us eyes to see all that you have done and continue to do, clearing hearts, building watchtowers to protect us, vats to store up a harvest of your goodness to share, planting love for all in whom we are and as who we are. May that vision lift our eyes from our inward focus. Give us courage to stand against the wicked tenant in us. Encourage us to be open and expectant of your movement in our lives. And may others see your fruit in who we are and be drawn to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.